And I wonder how many Christians are going to be disappointed, because the Bible says in Revelation 5 verse 9 that they sang a new song. And I can't imagine, are we going to sing a song? I don't even know. It's going to be a new song. Amen. We're going to sing it from the bottom of our hearts. Tonight we're going to start with two passages of Scripture. But then keep your Bibles handy, because we're going to be moving back and forth in some Scripture. Tonight we're going to start with Isaiah 42 and then Jeremiah 23. Isaiah 42 and then Jeremiah 23. By now, you should be standing. Isaiah 42 says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands." And then in Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, verse 5 and 6. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In those days, or in his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for your presence, for your promise that the word will never return empty or void, but always accomplish that for which you've sent it forth, and it will prosper thereby. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And his people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We've talked about the Lord as prophet and priest, and tonight, king. And it's interesting that when the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him to teach them to pray, we say, well, that was the Lord's Prayer. No, that was the model prayer. And he said, "After this manner pray ye." And there were certain things that they were to acknowledge. And one of them was that we were to acknowledge, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it's already being done in heaven." So God's people have always looked forward to the kingdom coming and to the king. And sometimes we get our theology and our hymnology mixed up. And one of the songs that we sing, and we say, boy, this is a real rapture song. And it's not a rapture song. It's a millennial song. It's about the millennial kingdom. The king is coming. You know, and so we are looking forward to the rapture, but we're also looking forward to the coming kingdom. Now, I could spend time talking about the king and the kingdom as much as any subject that's in the Word of God. And I think it's because I really get a hold of it. And there's things that I can relate to the kingdom that I can't really comprehend about heaven. Now, the millennial kingdom, I mean, even before heaven, I mean, to when the curse is removed from the face of the earth, we can't even imagine. We can't even imagine the beauty, the flowers, and no weeds, and no stickers, and no thistles. And if you build a new fence, you don't have to worry about all that brush coming up from the birds that sit upon the fence. And the Bible says that the ground will be so fertile that one will be planting and the other will be coming right behind them reaping. It's unbelievable. The lion will lie down with the lamb and they'll both eat straw together. Now, if you look for me, I'll be on a buckskin stallion, and I'll have a Bengal tiger by my side. You look at the millennial kingdom any way you want to. I'll look at it the way I want to. But the curse will be removed. And what a glorious time that will be. So we're to pray, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it's already being done in heaven. It's amazing how many people are fighting anything about Jesus, anything about Christmas, anything about Jerusalem, anything about peace in the Middle East, and just unbelievable as to how ignorant they are of the Word of God. So we're to be praying for His kingdom and the King to come. And this series has been about Messiah. And when we say Messiah, we're referring to His divine authority as the perfect prophet, the perfect priest, and the perfect king. We've spoken of Jesus as God's perfect prophet and of the perfect priest and as the promised king. Now, Psalms chapter 2 and the first six verses say, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. In other words, against the Lord Jesus. Let us break their bands asunder. Cast away their cords from us. And I love this. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Psalms 47 and the first nine verses talks about this day, and it says, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Whoa, in church? Yep. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He's a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a triumph, trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. God reigns over the heathen. It doesn't matter if they deny him. It doesn't matter if they ridicule him. The song we sing, but we don't always reach down in our soul to grab the depths, is our God reigns. Our God reigns. Well, John tells us, or records rather, about Jesus visiting with a lady. We refer to it a lot of times as the woman at the well. And he tells her that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now, don't you know that would have run chills up and down your back? You're looking for him? You're looking for Messiah? You know that he's going to tell you all things? Well, let me tell you something right now. I'm him. That's what Jesus told her. Christ was a descendant of David. And that's what Isaiah prophesied of in that 11th chapter. In the first 10 verses or so, he said, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make of him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor. I want to stop there for just a second. Something whistled between my ears, and if I don't tie a knot in it, I'll lose it. But when I was with McCormick Spices, I had some wild Indians for salesmen. I mean, they were as wild as a March hare. And when I'd be riding with one of them, I'd talk to them about the Lord. And this one particular man, we were working Laredo. And so when you've got an hour and a half going down to Laredo, and I'm saying an hour and a half because he drove 100 miles an hour, and I wanted to make sure I was prayed up, and it would have been nice to know if he was a Christian. But this guy told me, and laughingly, he said, I'm a good enough salesman, he said, that when I stand before the Lord, you give me 5 minutes and I'll convince him why I ought to be in heaven. You know, I wanted to get out of the car before the lightning hit me, you know. But the Bible says that he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The Bible says that He'll slay the wicked with the breath of his lips. Now, I don't understand why Hollywood doesn't make some of the most exciting movies, because they've got the material right here. You know? Can you imagine the Roman soldiers coming to take Jesus? Where's this Jesus of Nazareth? He said, I am he. Boom! They hit the ground. Now, bless your heart, that's power. You know it? I've been around some people, their breath would have made you hit the ground, but this is a different deal altogether. But the scripture says that righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Here's what I'm talking about. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hands on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. All of this shows Jesus as the fulfillment of the messianic promise to reign. You know, the Jew has always looked for a kingdom, an earthly kingdom. And Christians have always looked forward to a heavenly king, you know. And this shows the fulfillment of the messianic promise that God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will rule and reign. He was empowered and identified by God. You know, people that take the name of Jesus lightly, man, you're messing in the wrong area right there. When Peter, James, and John were up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and old Peter got real excited because there was Elijah and there was Moses, and he said, Lord, we just ought to build three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses. And all of a sudden, boom, came this voice from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. And they didn't see anybody else after that. I mean, they had their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. At Jesus' baptism, John the Baptist said, I don't need to baptize you. I need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said, suffer it or allow it to be so now, because it fulfills all righteousness. And while the word Trinity is not mentioned in the Bible, it's certainly shown in the Bible. The word rapture is not used in the Bible, but it's certainly shown repeatedly in the Bible. But when Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, and God spoke from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There was that establishment, that empowerment, that identification by God the Father. So what do we see? Well, the scripture says wisdom and understanding. Isn't it amazing how many times the scribes and the Pharisees tried to trick him? I mean, they weren't trying to learn of him. They weren't trying to grasp or to comprehend his teaching. They were always trying to trick him. to make him something that he was not, that to prove that he was an imposter or whatever. And it was all to no avail. Every time they tried, they failed miserably. Wisdom and understanding will be his characteristics. And the Bible talks about his counsel and might. Colossians tells us that all things were created by him and all things were created for him. Created by him and created for him. And even when people are not willing to accept that, doesn't change a thing. Still created by him, still created for him. And he'll have the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. You know, Jesus in the garden, I don't think we could ever grasp or understand the agony that he was going through, knowing what was going to take place on the cross, both physically and spiritually. And the Bible says his praying was so intense that there were sweat like drops of blood on his forehead. But nevertheless, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." You know, even though he was very God, he was very man, and he submitted himself to the word of God. And when the devil was tempting him and gave a half-truth, Jesus always rebuked the devil with the word of God. And sometimes I think that's why we have problems with the devil. We can't quote him scripture. You know, we can't use the word of God that will rebuke him, that will cause him to flee. And Jesus set that example, and he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Psalms 111:10 says in part that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So is there a wise person that has no fear of God? No. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. The fear of the Lord is not the end of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. In the past, our problem in America has been we didn't have any fear of God. And there's a lot that don't today. That's the beginning of wisdom. A lot of people get knowledge and wisdom mixed up. You know, the Bible says that in the latter days that knowledge will increase at an unusually rapid pace. I'm a novice when it comes to computers, but I've learned a few things. I used to have to run to one of the secretaries to pull something up on this and that, and now I get out my cell phone and I punch Google, and I said, "I want the words to this song. I want to know where this scripture is. I want to know this." There it is. You know, I've got a 42-pound Strong's Concordance. I used to leaf through that thing until my fingers were bleeding. But now I just talk to Siri. "Darling, would you look up?" No. But the knowledge is there. I hate to ask this, but how many of y'all had a set of encyclopedias? Yeah. How'd you like to be in... Linda still got hers, but I didn't want to say that. She's waiting for a revival from it. How'd you like to be an encyclopedia salesman right now? You know, what do I need with that? The only successful encyclopedia salesman I heard about the other day was a young man that wanted to be a salesman. And he stuttered a lot. And so he said, the sales manager said, well, I'll put him on this end of the town. We don't have any business there, and just turn him loose won't hurt anything. So he comes back in, and the sales manager said, how'd you do? He said, I sold 110 sets. He said, what? He said, I sold 110 sets. He said, how in the world did you do that? He said, I knocked on the door, and I said, sir, would you like to buy a set of encyclopedias, or do you want me to read them to you? So, anyway, I don't know what that's got to do with anything. But knowledge increases, but not wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, not knowledge. Well, Isaiah 11 says, as the righteous king, he's qualified to deliver righteous judgment. He's holy. He's righteous. I thank God for our legal system, as it were, but it's overseen by humans. And we make mistakes. I mean, I can show you some inequities, some things that is just not right. And the judge didn't judge right. And this and this and this. But listen, the Lord will judge right. He will judge right. He's qualified to deliver righteous judgment because he's the righteous king. He's holy and he's righteous. So the purpose of the messianic king is to render righteous judgment. When I read certain scriptures, like the wages of sin is death. Boy, if it stopped right there, no hope. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, we don't deserve, we don't deserve, we don't deserve salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's hope because on the cross, he sealed my pardon. You know, Dave and I talk about it sometimes, and I don't know how he could do it or how I could do it to get us to listen to the words sometimes of what we're singing. I mean, we're concerned about whether it's in A minor or if it's in this and this. I don't even know what A minor is. I thought it was a ball team. But we're concerned about the tune and how does it sound instead of realizing there's a message for me. Paige Patterson, I'm indicting myself and others. We were at a conference one time and somebody told Dr. Patterson, he said, well, what's the answer to all these shallow songs that we're singing today? You know, he said, what's the answer? Or what's the problem? He said, the problem's you. Well, that guy snapped to attention. He said, there was a time that preachers, strong Christians, wrote the songs. And they were doctrinal truths set to music. And so we've relinquished that. We've turned it over to anybody with a doo-da-doo-da thing or whatever. You know. So we need to make sure, you know, when somebody stands up and says, now the song I'm about to sing is about a butterfly, but it's really not about a butterfly. What it really is how the worm comes out of the cocoon. Sing. And if it has a message in it, biblically, you can grasp it. If you have to explain the whole thing, something's missing somewhere. And that was for free. But there's hope. On the cross, he sealed my pardon. That's where I was going with that. The song that we sing. That work on the cross, that atoning work, and I think of those three words that Jesus said on the cross. It is finished. Not his death, but salvation was complete. It was bought, paid for, sealed on the cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for it. Amen. If you don't know him tonight, it would be a good night. A good night to make that decision to come to Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Today is a good day to identify with the Lord, to plan our life and the life of his church, to get serious about serving him. Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that you are prophet, that you are priest, perfect prophet, perfect priest, and our soon coming perfect king. And it doesn't matter what the kings of the earth do or don't do, because we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and Jesus is his name. And Father, during this invitation time, if there's decisions to be made, help us to pray with the folks. And Lord, just lift them up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing.
Just as I am,
just like we are,
one plea, but
we can't change anything, but he can change everything if we'll let him.
And that thou bids me come to thee,
Lamb of God, I'm coming.
Of God,
I'm going to trust you. Let's sing this verse unto the Lord.
Just as I am,
Lord, I'm not waiting.
And waiting not,
I know that you can cleanse if I turn loose, if I let you have your way. Amen. We will see you, Lord willing, on the Lord's Day. And our Christmas for Christ is coming in. It's already far exceeded last year. And we thank the Lord for that, what we can do and what we will do before the end of this year, this next Lord's Day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Jim James, how about you leading us, please, sir?
Lord, as we prepare to leave this place, I pray that we take a moment and consider what we've heard tonight. There have been some real truths spoken, and we need to abide by them and heed them. Give us safety, Lord. Take care of us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Be careful going home. Stay warm this weekend, and we'll see you on Sunday.
for you.